Welcome to the State of Business with the Ohio Society of CPAs. I'm Jessica Salerno, Senior Content Manager at OSCPA, and this is the show for CPAs and accountants, where we cover the latest in technology, business development, career management, and more. In this episode, I'm at the Cincinnati Accounting Show talking with Reginald Lee, PhD and professor at Xavier University, about shifting your perspective by using strategic cost transformation. Reginald jokingly refers to himself as the anti-accountant, but in reality, this approach can be incredibly beneficial for CPAs. We discussed how this approach requires some unlearning, steps to take for implementation, and the success you can have from embracing it. Here's what he had to say.
So strategic cost transformation is the idea that we should shift our analysis and understanding of organizations from being accounting-centric to organization-centric. And so what that does is that brings in additional context for decision-making and analyses that we don't have when we only focus on accounting data and when understanding the financial performance of core companies. And so the transformation involves going from being accounting-centric with our analysis and our understanding of the company, even describing how the company is performing, to being able to describe it in other terms that includes operations in ways that we don't really think about it today in our current accounting analysis.
And for some CPAs, accountants, that might sound like the opposite of what they want to do, to change something from accounting-centric to not. Is that something that you run into, you hear accountants, CPAs kind of push back on that idea?
You know, it depends. Some of them, but I think a lot of them truly understand that there is a limitation to what accounting data and information can do. Mm-hmm. And so it's really the CPAs don't fight it as much. And in fact, a lot of CPAs who understand it tend to embrace it. But the people who tend to fight it are those who are managerial accounting consultants, and that's their livelihood. And so those are the folks who I have the biggest, or the most difficult time with. But most CPAs, once they do understand it, really appreciate it. In fact, I've got a student in my class right now, my MBA class was a CPA, and he recently said that this class and learning about strategic cost transformation is worth the value of his entire MBA just by itself. And so once they get it, then they really embrace some of the ideas.
And what is that process like, them finally understanding it?
Yeah, it depends, because there are some people, like with my last book, Strategic Cost Transformation, it was reviewed by professor emeritus up at University of Dayton named Joe Castellano. And Joe has told me on a couple different occasions that many accountants have known that there was something wrong with accounting but couldn't figure it out. And so with this, we've been able to figure it out and explain it. So for those who've been questioning it or understand its limitations, then that process is generally one of a little bit of unlearning some things that they know and relearning it in a different way or in a different context, and then they're fine with it. For others, it takes a little bit longer because the unlearning process is a little bit more difficult. You know, again, most embrace it once they understand it. Mm-hmm. But generally, the process is, okay, let me ask you a lot of questions. And it's kind of funny because the way I look at some of the questions is, so if you're going to shift away from accounting to something that's organization-centric, mm-hmm. how would you do this? So they'll ask me an accounting-type question, for example. And I call that looking for a gas tank on a Tesla. Because being an electric vehicle, right, doesn't have a gas tank. So with this approach, it doesn't necessarily create the same kind of answers. You look at certain things that, you know, certain managerial issues, certain metrics and measures a little bit differently. You're asking different questions to get that same understanding. So the way it's represented is different.
So how does this impact CPAs?
It's funny. It depends on what it is that they do. So for CPAs and a CPA firm, what it allows them to do is have a broader conversation about the performance of an organization. So right now, for example, if you're focusing on profitability, one of the things I talk about both in Strategic Cost Transformation, the latest book, and then the one before that, which is Lies, Damn Lies, and Cost Accounting, was suggesting that if we're in business, we should be in business to make money. Mm-hmm. And profit data doesn't reflect money. And so if a CPA wants to go into an organization and help their clients improve how they make money, then this allows them to have more tools in their tool belt. They can talk to operations more effectively. Mm-hmm. They can see how decisions affect the numbers that they're reporting more effectively. And so now they can have broader conversations and impact the value of their clients' businesses even greater. For CPAs who are working in corporate type of environments, what it allows them to do is create closer relationships with operations.
And so, you know, one of the things I'll talk about later is when you talk about when we go through the process of closing books, right? Mm-hmm. We close the books, and then somehow operations and accounting should come together and try to figure out, okay, so this is our performance. How do we improve it? But in many cases, if accounting doesn't really understand the operations side, then they're limited in terms of how they can make suggestions on how to improve it. Mm-hmm. And so this creates a framework and even a language that allows them to interact with operations more effectively and then, in essence, partner with them. And so they can have much deeper conversations after the books are closed to be able to say, okay, what did you do with operations? Well, this is what we did. Okay, so this is how it transformed into our results. Now let's have a conversation about things we can do in operations that could give us different results. Mm-hmm. And accounting can't often do that. But if they've learned, if the CPAs and the accounting organization have learned some of these tools, then that allows them to partner and have these conversations more and even be an active participant in the conversation in terms of driving improvements.
And I'm curious, has this approach been around for a while? Has it recently gotten popular?
It's an interesting question. So this came about when I was doing my PhD in engineering. And what I wanted to do is be able to explain how improvements that we made and from an engineering perspective would have financial benefits to operations, to financial folks, and to be able to explain what those were, right? Mm-hmm. So when I started looking into this, I realized that there were engineer math limitations of how accounting was working. Mm-hmm. And so part of my dissertation focused on explaining some of the challenges and then trying to fix them. So my first book was basically a repackaging of my dissertation. That came out in 2000, 2001. And so it kind of came out then. And then I wrote another book and kind of shifted away from it. So this guy who created the Society of Cost Management wrote the books, and he came back and he said, hey, man, we got to get your stuff out there. We can really use it.
Right.
Like, I don't know if I really want to do that. And so he pushed me for over a year to try to write another book. And so that's where Lies, Damn Lies came out. So people said, okay, so I read this book. I think it's great. What do I do? I said, well, go back to the first two books, but nobody wanted to do that. Mm-hmm. So I was working with Ron Baker and a couple other folks, and they said, well, hey, why don't you just write another book? And so this became a repackaging of all the ideas. So they've basically been around for a couple decades, mm-hmm. but this repackaging has been fairly recent. And I have to admit, early on, I was considered by many to be the anti-accountant because I was the engineer, and I thought, well, this accounting stuff is stupid. And I didn't really understand the whole context of how it should be applied. Mm-hmm. And so the framework, the strategic cost transformation, creates a framework called business domain management. And in business domain management, it has a very important and key piece for accounting to exist. So now I take the operations and cash stuff, and I tie it to accounting, and now we've got this bigger picture. So it's been around for a while. It's been evolving. But I think it's really, I think, how it's been explained and people understand it, how we actually implement it now, probably over the last 4 or 5 years.
So do you think enough CPAs, accountants, have considered this approach?
That's there are two answers to that question, right? So the first answer is absolutely not. But part of that is my own fault in that I hadn't for a long time been very diligent about getting it out there. So a lot of them just haven't heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are pockets of folks, right? I asked to go down to speak in Mexico one time, and we got to a university down there. And they'd been using my stuff, and all these students were asking me to sign their books. And I'm like, I didn't even know you were buying these books, you know? So there are pockets of folks. I know several governments have used my stuff. Several folks in academia have used my stuff. So I know that it's around and it's out there,
mm-hmm.
but there's not this general mass of information. The yes part to that question, though, is a lot of folks who I've met and I've talked to have actually started implementing components of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's in some ways kind of a philosophy of understanding the organization. And the philosophy along with that framework and a few metrics allows them to say, okay, let's run with this. Now we can think about things a lot differently than we used to before.
Right. So say someone has bought into this.
Mm-hmm.
What steps can they then take to implement this model?
Yeah, I think the first step is to sit down and get the organization, at least the leaders in the organization, to understand what's going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of a conversation, but I think the conversation is one that's very useful because if the accounting side is buying into it, then the operations side will already be bought into it because a lot of the things I talk about from an engineering perspective is stuff that they already do.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go to speak to, for instance, Institute of Industrial Engineering, engineers conferences, and they would come up and say, thank you for helping us explain this stuff to the other people, because, you know, so it's something that operations is probably looking for. Mm-hmm. And so if accounting says, hey, you know what, we're interested in this, then I think they'll have a very willing partner. So the first thing is to have that conversation.
Right.
And then the second thing is there's got to be a hierarchy of understanding or agreeing upon what's important to the organization. And here's why. As I mentioned a little bit earlier, one of the key tenets that came out in Lies, Damn Lies, and Cost Accounting is that profit and cash are not the same thing. And so we generally assume that they're the same thing, but they're not. And so in that context, then what we have to do is agree, okay, which one trumps the other? Do we want to be profit-centric or do we want to be cash-centric? Because what ends up happening, for instance, is I've got a number of examples where there could be an opportunity that's unprofitable from an accounting perspective, but it'll generate cash for the organization and vice versa.
Right.
So if you run into one of those challenges where one can cause a negative effect on the other, then you have to say, okay, which one is it that we want?
Mm-hmm.
So many times when I'm doing consulting work, when I talk to CEOs and CFOs, when this comes up, I'll ask them, so do you want to make money or do you want to be profitable?
Mm-hmm.
And both have their places. You know, for instance, if I'm looking for backing from the financial community, then I maybe want to show profit. If I'm looking for long-term growth on Wall Street, I want to be able to show that I can make money and I can show profit.
Mm-hmm.
If I am a privately owned company, then in many cases I may focus primarily on my cash generation. And if I can report smaller profits, that's less tax and more money for us, right? So it depends on where the organization is. But you know what this allows them to do is this allows them to make decisions and say, okay, you know what? We understand it's going to take a hit to profit, but we're going to generate cash as a result, so let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we understand that this hit with profit may be short term,
right,
and that may be okay. So it gives them context, Jessica, for all these decisions. And so they need to agree on what's going to be important for us so that the context becomes a lot clearer. And then after that point, it's primarily one of a couple things. Number one, educating everyone on the thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Redesigning the metrics and then starting to make decisions based on those metrics. So that's primarily the extent of it. There's now one company was implementing a new ERP system, and one of the things that they said was, we want to implement your concepts along with the ERP implementation. And with that, with the software component, there's a little bit of a challenge, right? Because a lot of times with strategic cost transformation, I mentioned they're two business domains. One's operations and cash. So that's the business activities within an organization and when they're spending money. So when I sell something and I receive the money, it's cash in, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when I buy something and I'm paying for it, that's cash out. All that stuff happens before you start generating accounting data. So that's the operations and cash domain. And so with the operations and cash domain, then what we focus on is raw data. How many people do we have? What are we paying them? What are they creating? All that kind of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times accounting data has been processed. It takes that raw data and processes it. And so if we're looking at software that has the process data, we can't use it.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get to the raw data first. And so that's one of the challenges that I've run into and clients have run into, and that's the software component of it. And so companies have to think through, okay, so are there ways to get to the raw data and understand it? Sometimes you can go through the general ledger, for example, and back out and say, okay, so what are these accounts telling me? And then use that data, then you can pull that data and start using it for some of the operations activities. So those are generally the steps. So you know, it starts with communication, then agreeing on what it is that we're going to be focused on as an organization. And then we have to make general, you know, spread that general awareness and then start putting the measures and metrics in place for people to be able to act in a way that's in alignment with the business domain management concept. Versus going back to being accounting centric.
And you've mentioned a few cases of you working with people, mm-hmm. talking with them about this. Are there any standout examples that you can think of where organizations have done this really well?
I think, yeah. One of my favorite examples was a wire and cable company. And there was a guy who led their, and it wasn't the one that's based in this area, it's a competitor. But one of the guys who led the supply chain practice really kind of bought into the idea.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that allowed, for instance, was he had an IT vendor who came in, for example. And the IT vendor said, you need to buy this software for your supply chain. It's basically warehousing software. And said, you'll save $4 million if you do this. And he said, okay, tell me how I'm going to spend $4 million fewer dollars. And so the salesman said, well, you know, you're going to be more productive, better data. And he said, I agree with that. Tell me how I'm going to spend $4 million fewer dollars.
Right.
Faster decision, better decisions, lower. Listen, I'm going to be on the hook for $4 million cash dollars. Because the CEO understands this stuff too.
Right.
So if you can't tell me I'm going to spend $4 million fewer dollars, then I'm not going to buy into your business proposition, your value proposition.
Right.
And the guy said, okay, I see where you're going. I can't save you $4 million. And he said, okay, I'll buy your software. And so he realized it was good for the company, but he realized that a lot of times when you're looking at things like Lean, Six Sigma, IT improvements, they don't generate cash savings. They can generate improvements in profit, but they won't save you money necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
And so he understood that. And so he was able to make decisions as a result of that. So a number of companies, what it's allowed them to do is, you know, some clients have made better decisions when it comes to pricing, for example, because now they understand that they've got more pricing flexibility in terms of generating cash than they had when they were focused only on accounting numbers. Part of that's because the contribution margin from a cash perspective doesn't work. The contribution margin as defined by accountants doesn't work as a cash metric. It doesn't work at all.
Right.
And so because of that, then they were able to shift over to the cash-based contribution, and now they completely understand how much flexibility they have.
Mm-hmm.
So they can take jobs that they think, okay, from an accounting perspective, it's unprofitable, but from a cash perspective, it's actually generating money for our firm. And so they understand those kind of things. So that's actually the company that wanted me to work with them with their software.
Right.
There's another company, and it was bad news. They were going to go off a cliff. I mean, they were just really dying from a cash perspective. And so they called my firm and went and took a look at their situation and just explained to them, cash-wise, here's what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't see what's going on cash-wise if you're looking at the accounting data. Because it starts with operations and cash, and then you create the accounting data. But it's like a bicycle that goes well in one direction, but you can't go backwards.
Right.
So you can't start with an accounting, you know, you can't start with this cost $20 and then figure out anything about operations. It doesn't go well backwards, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they were focused on the accounting data, and they realized, you know, after explaining to them, so here's what you're doing from a cash perspective, and here's why your company is in the position it's in, then we're able to help them understand, okay, so here's some things that you can do to begin turning that around. And it turned them around, and they're still operating. So a couple situations, like I get called in generally by two types of organizations. One are extremely leading edge companies that are looking for advantages.
Okay.
And so this allows them to think about their business very, very differently. And so one of them is a very large capital company out on the East Coast. And so they bought the firm in to use for their portfolio companies, right? So in that context, they were leading edge. They didn't want anybody else to know what they were doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then the other side is like that last firm, and that's companies that are in dire straits, and it's basically help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Titanic sinking. I see folks out there in lifeboats, but I don't see one for me. What do I do?
Right. Right.
And so it's basically come in and give them, you know, a jacket and swimming lessons and get them to the point where they're able to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, engage as we need to. But primarily, you know, once they understand a philosophy and what the philosophy is doing for the way they think, then they're able to continue that on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool.
It sounds like a lot of this at the heart of it is just a change in perspective.
Really is.
Which sounds so simple, but I think is one of the hardest things to do to change your perspective, especially for people who have been thinking and doing business this way for years and years.
Yeah, centuries, actually. In my presentations, I'll often talk about this going back to 1812, which predated the first business school by almost 70 years. You know, so I've been doing this, trying to figure this whole problem out for 200 years.
Right.
And it's really kind of funny because I teach at Xavier University, and we were interviewing candidates, and one of the candidates for an entrepreneurship position was an engineer who figured out this thing with HR software.
Mm-hmm.
And to him and his partner, they looked at it and said, well, we're outsiders, and looking at this thing, the answer seems kind of simple. And they did it. And they're one of the largest entrepreneurial companies in his home country. And it's the same kind of thing. You know, I'm an outsider looking at this, and I'm thinking, well, that's not how math works.
Right.
You know, that's not how really business works. I get what they're trying to do, but that's not really how it works.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can see that perspective, then it opens up so many ideas to just, you know, manage businesses, make decisions. It's really kind of cool.
Right. And that reminds me of what we were talking a little bit before we turned the mics on. And I know that you mentioned earlier in one of your answers about unlearning things, which we were talking about. It's a difficult process.
It is. And it's sometimes I think it's about motivation, right? Because if you're a smoker and you say, okay, I need to stop smoking. Okay, I need to stop smoking. Keep smoking. But if a doctor says, hey, listen, if you smoke another cigarette, you're going to explode. It's kind of motivation to change that behavior, right? And so I think it's the same kind of thing. If there's motivation to do it, then companies can change. And I think that they'll see a significant amount of benefit from the change because, you know, what we don't really have is an effective way of managing how we make money, how we think about money, and how we think about the biggest expense in companies, which is capacity. I define capacity as space, labor, people, equipment, technology. We're spending a bunch of money on that, and we have such poor tools to understand it. And this just helps people see what it is and helps them manage it, make better decisions as a result. They know, for example, well, gee, if I take on this work and I can, you know, let's say that one of my favorite examples is a client who got an order in on Friday, and sales agreed to the order and said, we'll get it to you on Monday, right? And they think, okay, yes, we're going to incur some overtime and expedite shipping or whatever, so we'll charge them a little bit more. But what they didn't realize is if I've got to run overtime, how much more are we spending in cash?
Right.
So if I've got all these people and I'm paying time and a half on Saturday, double time on Sunday, the sales guy had no clue about the cash impact of that.
Right.
But this is something that, you know, if it's $200,000 in cash and it's going to hit you next payroll, some people would want to know about this. And this allows you to do that because it says, you know what, if I'm going to, you know, this is my spending right now on labor. If I'm going to change it to this, this is the impact of it. And I can calculate it. I can see it. And I can plan for it. And you can't really do that with accounting data. And so this allows organizations to see those things. They can plan much more effectively. So, yeah, it's really cool stuff, I think.
So are there any roadblocks that you have heard of people experiencing or that they come up against when they try to implement this model?
Yeah. The first that I mentioned earlier was the IT issue.
Right.
And so there are ways to get around that. And I've got suggestions for organizations to be able to do that, like, you know, focusing on general ledger and such. The other is the notion of unlearning what we think we know about the cash performance of organizations, operations, et cetera, right? Because for a lot of folks, again, if we're accounting centric, then that's what we know and that's what we look to. And this is basically saying, yeah, but that's not good enough. And so people who have a vested interest in that being good enough may have a harder time trying to back out and change,
right?
It's kind of like the cigarette exploding thing.
Right.
But for those who have an interest in the changing, then it becomes a process. And it's, you know, like we were talking about before, it's almost like a light switch for some. You know, it takes a little while. For some, it happens faster than others, right?
Right.
Some will walk out of a room that, when I'm presenting and say, you know what? Got it. I'm on to it. Some, it takes a couple times. And so, but it's that process of unlearning, and that's a roadblock at times. The last roadblock, I think, is momentum, inertia. You know, as we talked about, the idea has been out there for a while. It's been packaged up, and I've been sharing it with organizations, you know, being a lot more diligent, I guess, because people have come to me about it much more so than they had in the past. So, you know, in that context then. With the inertia, what's happening is that's just the way people know to do business or believe they know to do business. Well, no, they actually know that. But what they believe is the right way to do business. And so with that comes the challenge of trying to take a new idea and get people to buy into it. So that inertia thing is tough. It's that way with any change.
Right. There will always be people who are uncomfortable, who don't want to do it, who hate change. There will always be those people.
Exactly. Yeah. And you have those people and then their bosses who won't say, well, yeah, you absolutely have to do it. You know, like it, that's okay. And then all of a sudden it's back to the old way of doing business.
Right.
Yeah.
So we've talked about roadblocks. On the other side of the coin, what successes can people anticipate or expect from this type of model?
So my firm, Business Dynamics and Research, has one value proposition. And that value proposition is you'll make more money or we'll return your fees. And so the focus there is on companies making money. It's designed to be dealt to align with how cash flows and how we make decisions that affect how cash flows. And so in that context, then people who use it will make better decisions that will increase the amount of money that they make.
Right.
And so with any firm, that's the objective of my firm. That's why this stuff was created, and that was to make money. I'm a follower. I was trained in, under Goldratt, who wrote The Goal. And so part of what I learned from him is, you know, companies are in business to make money. And so if that's the case, we need the tools to help us make money, and these tools do that. So whether you're consulting the companies to help them make money, that's going to help you make money. For those who are in the CPA space who have their own firms, what it also allows them to do is think through how they're managing their own projects, you know, how they price them, how they consider or interpret the cost associated with projects. It's very different in this space than what they're normally used to. So this provides them with a different way of thinking about those kind of things. And again, for those who are working in firms and accounting organizations within firms, they can help the firm make more cash. Right. You know, it's about cash. And a lot of times when I talk to folks, they think cash is about receivables and payables. And it's like, it's not. That's just a subset. That's like the tip of the iceberg. We're talking about how many people we buy and what we pay for them, how much space we buy and what we pay for it, right? And the implications behind the decisions that we make. And so that's a big deal. And so if you can see that and you can manage it better, then that's going to generate a lot more cash for organizations. So I think it's all about generating cash for organizations. Everyone has their questions based on how they hear this, how they interpret it, right? Mm-hmm. Because for your audience, there are going to be some people who say, you know what, I'm going to learn more about this and pick it up. And there are going to be others who are going to be hostile.
Right.
I think people should understand the context. You know, it was built as a tool to help people manage organizations and to generate cash. It's not a tool to replace accounting. It's not, you know, doesn't play accounting on television. It's not one of those kind of things, right? It's basically a tool to help people see and manage the organization more effectively.
Mm-hmm.
So the extent to which people can step back and see that, I think that they're going to benefit a lot from it. You know, I started off as being the anti-accountant, and now I think my biggest clients are accountants, you know? And so I think it's really exciting stuff. You know, when people come to me and they say, thank you, because this has changed or that has changed, or, you know, I listened to this podcast or I saw you speak and it just really enlightened me and now I'm, you know, seeing things differently. That's just great. I'm happy for them, you know? So with this, it takes time for people to grasp it.
Right.
And so one of my objectives is to be there. So when people have questions, say, hey, fire off an email. I'm a professor, so we explain things. That's what we do. So I'd be happy to explain things. But yeah, I think mostly it's to understand what it is. You know, don't start looking for a gas tank on an electric vehicle because they're not there. You know, instead try to understand how the electric vehicle works and how you can benefit from it. If you can do that, then all things would be much better.
A big thank you to Reginald for telling us about the value of strategic cost transformation. If you'd like to hear more from him, you can in person at our Cleveland and Columbus accounting shows. Register at the link in our show description, along with Reginald's contact info. And now that you've listened this far, I'd love to know what you think of the podcast. Send me a message at jsalerno, J-S-A-L-E-R-N-O, at ohiocpa.com. And please rate and review us on whatever podcast app you're using. Thanks for listening.